The special favor of Allah. Ali Allah. Ali Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Respected viewers of Madani Shilm, we once again welcome you in our program Saints of Qadiriyya Ode. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, today we've got beautiful personalities to talk about. Be with us from start to end, inshallah, an immense amount of knowledge you'll be learning from today's episode. Before we talk about our pious predecessors, let's make a few good intentions. My Shaykh Tariqat, Amir of Ahl Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatum Al Aliyah, has given us a beautiful mindset that we should make good intentions before we perform any permissible task or any good deed. I make this intention, inshallah, I will present this program for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should make this intention, you'll watch from start to end, you'll remember what you learn, act upon and pass this knowledge on to others too. Alhamdulillah, we've got our guest, Dr. Zirik Nazim Attari with us. Let's go towards him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
MashaAllah, Nasib, how are you doing? You okay?
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. How are you, Rizwan?
I'm good too. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ala kulli hal. Today, we'll be talking about, subhanAllah, Hazrat Shah Ali Rasul, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh, Imam Ahmed Raza Khan Alayh, Rahmatul Rahman. Now, these are our pious predecessors in Shajra Qadiriyya, in Saints of Qadiriyya Order. We have talked a few personalities in previous episodes. Definitely, we've not been able to do justice due to short span of time. And I don't think we will be able to do justice on these beautiful personalities in this very short span of time. But the main idea and purpose of this program is to pick few beautiful few beautiful attributes and qualities from the life and legacy of these personalities so that we can take them as a beautiful role model for us to follow. Doctor, if we start from the very first personality, Shah Ali Rasul, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, if you could please mention a little bit of his introduction, this great personality in the history of Islam, in Qadiriyya Order, great saint, inshallah, and then inshallah, we'll take further from his life and legacy, what we can learn.
Alhamdulillah. Thanks to Allah Azza wa Jal that he has given us the ability to talk about his friends and to share some of the beautiful aspects of their life, their seerah. Sayyidina Ali Rasul Rahmatullah Ali, he is from the Indian subcontinent. He was born in 1209 Hijrah, which is 13th century after the Hijrah of the Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wa Alayhi Wa Sallam. Now, we picked his personality because he is the Shaykh of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, alayhi rahmatul rahman. Now, clearly, majority of us know Ala Hazrat, and through the blessed environment of Dawat Islami, I don't think there will be anyone attached with the Madani environment of Dawat Islami who doesn't know about Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan. Inshallah, we'll come to talk about him later on. But Sayyidina Ali Rasul Rahmatullah Alayh, as we said, that he is the Shaykh, he is the peer of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan. So what more can be said about the personality of Sayyidina Ali Rasul Rahmatullah Alayh? The Ala Hazrat Azimul Barkat himself chose to be the murid of this personality. And he traveled to Marehra Sharif. Marehra Sharif in India is where Shah Ali Rasul Rahmatullah Alayh was born. And he is also known as Sayyidina Ali Rasul Marehravi, that the belonging to Marehra Sharif in India. Saints of Allah Azza wa Jal, they have been given great intellect by Allah Azza wa Jal. And I would like to mention one particular incident from his life, And this is something we can all learn from. If I come to you to ask a very difficult question, you will then try to sort of find out ways how you can explain to me the answer to that question. And mostly it is based on my knowledge, my experience, and I will say certain things to help you find the solution and answer. But there is another way that you can help someone find an answer, and that is by them experiencing that particular situation, and they find the answer themselves.
Right.
Now, a similar situation happened to Sayyidina Ali Rasul Rahmatullah Alayh. He used to have a great devotee, great disciple, a great murid of his from the city of Badayun. That's again, you know, a city in India. And that murid, that disciple, was also the servant of Sayyidina Ali Rasul Rahmatullah Alayh. And he began to think about the Mi'raj Sharif of the Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wa Alayhi Wa Sallam. That how come in such a short time period the journey of Mi'raj took place? Now again, obviously, you know, he was thinking about his own, you know, level of understanding. He put this question to Sayyidina Ali Rasul Rahmatullah Alayh. Now he knew his murid that obviously, you know, if he were to give a logical answer, he may not be able to understand. So Sayyidina Ali Rasul Rahmatullah Alayh, he was performing wudu.
SubhanAllah.
And he tells his murid, his disciple, that go into the room and bring the towel so that I can dry myself. Now a very interesting thing happens from here. The disciple goes into the room. And like we can see through the windows in here, that he could see from the window a beautiful garden.
Right.
He ventures into the garden, and without realizing, he travels to another city.
Right.
Now, when he reaches that city, it's like a new life for him, it's like a new world for him. And he establishes business there. He becomes married. He has children.
Allah, 20 years.
And 20 years pass
Allah.
In this state. And he was actually experiencing all of this.
Allah.
It was not an imagination.
Yeah.
Now one day, he comes to the same garden. And he hears the voice of Sayyidina Ali Rasul that bring the towel.
Right.
Now he finds himself back into the same room, and he comes out with the towel, and he observes that the body parts of Sayyidina Ali Rasul Rahmatullah Alayh, they are still wet with the wudu that he has performed, and he presents the towel to Hazrat Sayyidina Ali Rasul.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Now he didn't actually tell Ali Rasul that what happened. Sayyidina Ali Rasul Rahmatullah Alayh himself goes to him.
Who had put him into an experience.
And he says, how was it that you went into another city, you did business, you got married, you have children, you've spent 20 years, and now you come back.
And my hands are still wet.
My hands are still wet, and the time here is still only a few seconds.
Did you understand?
Through that experience,
SubhanAllah.
He obviously... You know,
he asks, do you understand the Mi'raj now?
Yeah.
SubhanAllah.
And then he goes, of course, I do.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
So this is another quality of friends of Allah. Like in the previous episodes we mentioned that, you know, this physical world becomes subservient to them.
SubhanAllah.
If I were to sort of talk about modern science, quantum physics, or laws of physics, especially relating to the time. There are these theories of time travel where they talk about bending of the time. And if you are able to bend the time, I don't know whether, how, I'm not exactly, you know, sure about this. I'm just sort of basic knowledge that if you can bend the time or if you can time travel, then the time stands still for you. Relative velocity and all these sort of things.
Theories are there.
Yeah. So these theories are there. But when we look into the pious lives of, you know, our pious predecessors, you find these real examples where these things have already happened. So even the physical world, even the natural world, the laws of nature, they are bent.
Also, this
in
reminds
front of
me,
these pious predecessors.
Your explanation reminds me another beautiful couplet of Al-Hazrat al-Shah Imam Muhammad Raza Khan al-Rahmat al-Rahman, who was murid of Ali Rasul rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He says, Wo jo na the to kuch na tha, wo jo na ho, refers to Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. Wo jo na the to kuch na tha, wo jo na ho. When Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wasallam was not created, nothing was created, because the very first thing which was created was the noor of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, wo jo na the to kuch na tha, wo jo na ho to kuch na ho. Jaan hai wo jahan ki, jaan hai to jahan hai. Meaning, he is life, soul of this universe. And if there is soul in body, then body has got life. When the soul comes out of the body, body is dead. And Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is life, soul for this universe. And this universe exists because of that soul. And one of the explanation ulama they mentioned, when Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam left this universe, right, that jaan, that soul was out of this universe. This universe was still. It stood still, you see. And because the ruh, the soul was out of this universe, when Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam came, this time again. So, wo jo na the, to kuch na tha. Wo jo na ho, to kuch na ho. Jaan hai wo jahan ki. Jaan hai to jahan hai.
And I think, you know, through this power, we have to make sense of these things. This day and age, everyone tries to be logical. Now, there is a role to be played by logic, and you can prove lots of things through logic. Yes, you can't rely 100% on logic. Now, there is a hadith al-Qudsi where Allah Azza wa Jal states that through faraid, worship, an individual gains my closeness. And through nawafil, that individual continues to get closer to me until, meaning that he performs worship, optional worship in addition to the faraid, so much that Allah says that he becomes my beloved.
Subhanallah.
And when he becomes my beloved, Allah Azza wa Jal says that I become his eyes with which he sees.
Allah.
I become his ears with which he is able to listen. I become his tongue with which he speaks. I become his hands with which he holds. I become his feet with which he walks. Now, this is a metaphorical, obviously, expression. Allah Azza wa Jal is not like the creation. Allah Azza wa Jal, being of Allah Azza wa Jal,
it's free from body or anything.
It's free from physical restrictions, physical body and so forth. Now, this is, this hadith al-Qudsi is, it helps us to understand that why
the of Allah sees with the powers of Allah.
When friends of Allah Azza wa Jal, they may see things beyond, these physical restrictions,
the
beyond these
that.
Walls.
True.
They may see in the long distance.
True.
They may take one step and travel thousands of miles.
True.
There are countless examples. And inshallah, when we talk about Ala Hazrat, we will talk about his saintly miracle, his karamat as well. That how he would obviously regularly travel thousands of miles away and come back. So this is, what happens when friends of Allah Azza wa Jal, but look at, how they gain their power, how they gain these, this control over the physical universe, and extraordinary things begin to happen.
I think
for
it was hard to believe in maybe a few centuries ago, or maybe a few years back, isn't it, when technology was not that advanced. And nowadays, when we have got modern technology, modern sciences, we have got, people, they are trying to, travel in supersonic jets, right? And they are thinking about the speed of light and sounds. They want to travel with this such velocity and the such speed. On top of that, when we can hear from one corner of the world to the another corner of the world with no time. And this technology, I think it has helped these mobile phones, gadgets, internet world, the way this world has become a global village. These small apparent physical means, they have sorted all these questions which could have come in the minds of earlier people who lived on this face of this planet. But today it's very easy to understand that these physical means, right, we cannot see these signals, but they're still there. So we can hear, we can get the call right now, and from Pakistan, from India, from Arab, from anywhere right now, I can be connected and I can talk. My voice will go there, they will listen to me. Even we are sitting on a channel and across the globe people are watching right now to us. These technologies, they have made us understand if this physical means can get us connected and they've got certain powers, in other words, right, then what would be the level of spiritual world, what we are talking about? Why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not grant their friends to such powers that subhanAllah, this distance is nothing for them, and to listen from far is no hard for them?
Exactly, and obviously this is a good sign for us to, you know, understand things from a logical perspective. But again, when it comes to the friends of Allah Azawajal, they are able to do these things without these
apparent means.
And that is where the spirituality, the spiritual power, the spiritual world, and because of their connection with Allah Azawajal, and what is mentioned in that Hadith Qudsi is faraid and nawafil, the compulsory worships and optional worships. So it's a combination of both. Yeah. And until you achieve that balance, you will obviously clearly, you know, you will not be able to attain the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal to such an extent. And so these, you know, this one particular saintly miracle of Sayyidina Ali Rasul Marehrvi Rahmatullah Alayh shows us that how high his status was in terms of being a friend of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then if you go back to Huzur Ghose Pak Rahmatullah Alayh, there are so many saintly karamats, miracles that defy the laws of nature.
Yeah.
And I think this, you know, should firm our belief that, look, if you serve Allah Azza wa Jal, everything else will serve you.
Definitely. Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala once stood in front of a grave, and that was grave of a young man who had passed away. And he started conversating with that young man. Now, Rashad, this tells us, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala was standing outside. He could see inside the grave. He could talk inside the grave, and that individuals inside, he could hear. And in earlier episode, you mentioned about an account of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, when he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reveal the matters of the grave. So these people who are close in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can talk. And even very famous hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, when once Aqa alayhi salatu wasalam was passing by a grave, and subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam picked few branches from a tree and put on top of a grave. Allahu Akbar. And the reason which was asked from Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam by a companion who was with Aqa alayhi salatu wasalam, so Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said that the person in that certain grave was being punished due to certain sins which were mentioned. I think one of them was tale telling, you see, and he was not protecting himself from the drops of urine. These are the reasons Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned. And subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam put those branches of tree, right? And he mentioned that until or unless these branches will remain fresh, subhanallah, this person in this grave will be relieved. Now, Rasulullah alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's eyes, the sight He could see inside what is happening, the knowledge subhanAllah Aqalihi Salatu Salam possessed. So this clearly tells us those that are chosen, those that are close in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we have heard this hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu salam, an account of Sayyidina Umar Faruqi Azam radiallahu an, account of Sayyidina Ali Murtaza radiallahu an. Then again we're talking about the pious predecessors. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them special powers, miraculous powers, we can say them. And subhanAllah, these worlds are nothing for them, these distances are nothing for them. They can hear from far, they can see alhamdulillah far, which we cannot see. So everyone is not like us. Some people were chosen and they've got status before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they've got many powers granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we look from this perspective, I think that becomes easier for us to understand these beautiful accounts, what we are learning in this program. Any other important nasiha or piece of advice we can take from the seerah of Ali Rasul rahmatullahi ta'ala?
Alhamdulillah, it is mentioned in books when the time of death came close of Sayyidina Ali Rasul rahmatullahi alayhi. So the individuals who were close by, they asked him for some pearls of wisdom. And this is a practice of believers, that whenever a saint of Allah Azza wa Jal is
departing from this mortal world,
they always ask them for nasiha, advice, wisdom, pearls of wisdom. And alhamdulillah, look at the great pearl of wisdom that Sayyidina Ali Rasul Marhirvi rahmatullah gave. He said, أَطِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيُوا الرَّسُولِ.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. What concise and brief.
Allah Azza wa Jal and His Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And this is enough for you for success, for both in this dunya and the world hereafter. And I think again, this is a great lesson for us to obey the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal and follow in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
What a beautiful advice, respected viewers of Madani Channel. How concise and brief this is from Quran, that we should follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the following the footsteps of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Definitely it has najat, it has salvation in it, and it covers everything, alhamdulillah, the teachings of Islam. Because if we follow the commandments of Allah and His beloved Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, so that means we follow Islam and all the detailed teachings of Islam. Respectfully, now inshallah we will include in our program another beautiful personality in the history of Islam, who is also included in Shajara Qadriya, who is one of the great saints of Qadriya order, and that is very, very famous personality, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman. I believe that whoever is watching right now, many of them would know about this great personality, subhanAllah, Ala Hazrat Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmat rahman. But maybe any of those viewers, they would have joined us right now and they are not aware of this great personality. Could you please mention a little bit of introduction, when this personality was born, when was he born, and subhanAllah, further few of his attributes in his early life, and then we take it further, inshallah.
Now, alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, through the blessed environment of Dawat Islami, everyone knows about Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahmatullah alayh. And even if those who haven't heard of his name, and that famous salam that is recited in all of the masajid of Ahlu Sunnah wa Jamaat throughout the world, that Mustafa Jane Rahmat Bilakhun Salam, Shamae Bazme Hidayat Bilakhun Salam. This is written by none other than Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman. He, rahmatullah alayhi, was born on 10th of Shawwal, 1272 Hijra, in the city of Bareilly, which corresponds to 14th of June, 1856.
Right.
Such an amazing personality. What a wonderful personality. And I think, no matter which walk of life you belong to, you can learn huge amount from this personality. Now, he had amazing characteristics even from early childhood.
Subhanallah, no doubt, Dr. Sir. What an amazing personality, Shah Imam Ahmed Raza Khan Ali Rahmat Rahman. Allahu Akbar. His name was Muhammad, right? And his grandfather, he named him Ahmed Raza, and he became famous with this name, Ahmed Raza. But interesting fact in the life of Ahmed Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, we notice the love for Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, the devotion, ishq-e Rasul he had for Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wasalam. It is exemplary. To be honest with you, you hardly find such people who are to the status where somebody is fanafir Rasul. They are, lost in the love of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And for them, everything is love of Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And this personality is one of those personalities who were to that state of fana fir Rasul, subhanallah. And you see this, that even his name was Muhammad, and he was, as a calling name, it was Ahmed Raza. But he used to write, whenever he would sign, he would write Abdul Mustafa. Right? And this he used to write because of the love of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He used to call himself as slave of Mustafa. Abdi Mustafa is one of the meanings of Abdi's slave, right? And he would say, I am slave of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a very famous couplet of his is Khawf Narak Raza Zara Tu To Hai Abde Mustafa. Allahu Akbar. Look at his belief upon the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam's love and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, you should not have any sort of fear, O Raza, because you are Abd of Mustafa, because you are slave of beloved of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Tere liye aman hai, tere liye aman hai. There is salvation for you. There is salvation for you. Now, so this is the life of Ala Hazrat Shah Imam Ahmed Raza Khan alayhi rahmatu rahman. We talked about a little bit. Could you please mention about the knowledge he gained in the early age from his father, Maulana Naqi Ali Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And after that, when did he issue the very first verdict, first fatwa? This will tell us the love with knowledge of ilmi deen and his stature in terms of knowledge of deen.
Now, you mentioned about the love of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmed Raza Khan for the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. I would say that he is a multidimensional personality. Whichever field you look into, he is an expert and he is the best of the best.
No doubt.
He is an authority in many walks of life.
No doubt.
Now, obviously, you talked about the knowledge. Alhamdulillah, as it happens, you know, throughout that time period, that, you know, these households are blessed. Now, Ala Hazrat's grandfather, father, they were both muftis. Ala Hazrat, learned scholars, and Ala Hazrat himself initially gained knowledge from his father, Maulana Naqi Ali Khan, rahmatullah alayhi. And in this day and age, if I were to sort of like, give you a perspective, that if someone wants to become a scholar, the earliest they start, they are about 12, 13, 14 years of age. And by the time they're about 22 or 23, they will finish what we call as Dars-e-Nizami. And then they will spend another 6, 7, or 8 years to become a mufti, someone who can actually write a fatwa, someone who can give a verdict. So the earliest someone can become a mufti or a fully qualified or fully fledged mufti is 30 years of age. Yes. Now look at Imam Ahmed Raza Khan alayhi rahmatu rahman. He was, if we look at his age when he became, he had, completed all the compulsory knowledge and additional subjects, 13 years, 10 months and 4 days.
Allahu Akbar.
Now if we compare that with our time period, now if you look at the time period of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmed Raza Khan, we learn that he was born in 1856.
Well, it's not quite far.
And he passed away in 1921. So if you look at it, it's only,
100 years
ago. It's basically 100 years ago. that he passed away. So this is not too far from our time period. And in this day and age, someone who is 13 years of age, they don't know much about the world and they don't know much about the religion. Whereas Imam Ahmad Raza Khan had mastered all the uloom from a religious point of view. Now his beauty is that he's not just a religious scholar. This is the greatest injustice that is done to him in this day and age by the majority. They think of him as an Islamic scholar.
Yeah.
But if you look at his books that he has written,
yeah.
Now he has written more than 1,000 books. He's basically given his expert opinion on
these subjects. Some sort of examples in his books.
Mathematics, physics, chemistry, geometry, trigonometry, optics, and many other things as well. Let me give you an example that in this day and age, we talk about scientific opinion. On planetary motions.
Right.
And this question came into the court of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan. And he was in his last year of his life and he was very ill. And the almost majority of the last year of his life was spent on bed. But he would still ask his disciples to read the letters he was getting, and then he will dictate them what to write. So in this state, someone from Aligarh University or someone from somewhere else, they send a question to Ala Hazrat that science talks about planetary motion in this way. And they actually ask Ala Hazrat to accept that belief. And that individual also cites some narrations which were not authentic about the teachings of the companions Imam Ridwan, which seem to be proving the scientific idea. Now, Ala Hazrat Azimul Barakat, then in that state of ailment, he writes, 3 different books.
Right.
One of them is Fawz-e Mubeen, the Radd-e Harkat-e Zameen. Now, obviously, I'm not going to go into the detail, but in Fawz-e Mubeen, Ala Hazrat, Rahmatullah Alayh, He gives almost 106 or 110 pieces of scientific evidence disproving the scientific theory about planetary motion. And that is a challenge. That is an open challenge for those individuals who have knowledge of physics to actually read and research and obviously give their answer to those challenges that Ala Hazrat has posed to modern science. And this is how knowledge develops as well. But can you imagine that someone who never went to any school or worldly university, and he gained his teachings from the city of Bareilly Sharif, and he can write something on such a scientific topic. And those of those viewers of Madni Channel who do have scientific knowledge, I advise them, I invite them to read this book of Ala Hazrat Fawz-e Mubeen.
Yeah.
And they will actually then realize that how
level
much knowledge,
subhanAllah,
he had worldly knowledge as well. Yeah. Now, one other example, which is very common example, very famous example as well, the Aligarh University was one of flourishing Islamic institute in the Indian subcontinent at the time of British Raj.
Yeah.
And this was a good institute from a worldly point of view. In the mathematics department, there was a professor of mathematics called Ziauddin.
Ji.
And he had done his PhD from Germany. When you do a PhD, you actually basically become the authority on that particular subject because you are the only one who knows about that topic the most.
Yeah.
That's what PhD means. No one else has that much knowledge. Now that Professor Ziauddin, he became stuck in a mathematical problem. He asked his fellow mathematicians, they couldn't resolve it. And because it was related to his profession, so the experts in that field were in Germany. So he said that I'm going to travel to Germany to find the solution to this mathematical problem. There was the Department of Islamic Studies in Aligarh University, and one of the disciple, one of the murid of Ala Hazrat, he was the head of Islamic Studies department. He learned about Professor Ziauddin that he's going to travel to Germany to find a solution to this problem. So he goes to Professor Ziauddin, why don't you go to Bareilly and ask this question in the court of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan. Now, obviously, Professor Ziauddin goes that, you know, come on. I'm an expert in this field. And Imam Ahmad Raza doesn't acquire any mathematical degrees or anything like that. So how will he be able to solve the problem?
Yeah.
So the head of the Islamic Studies Department says, okay, well, at least go. You know, if you don't find the solution to your problem, then you can travel to Germany. But if you were to find the solution, then it will save your time. Well, anyway, unwillingly, he decides to travel to Bareilly Sharif. And when Professor Ziauddin comes to Bareilly Sharif, it was time just before Zuhr Salah. Ala Hazrat was getting ready for Zuhr Salah. And Ala Hazrat asked Professor Ziauddin, okay, what is the problem? You know, what mathematical problem you have? Obviously, it was introduced to Ala Hazrat that this is Professor Ziauddin and he's got this issue which he can't solve. The Professor Ziauddin goes that, you know, it is Zuhur time. Why don't we pray the Zuhur? It's not such a simple task, a simple problem that he'll be able to solve. Once we prayed namaz, we'll sit, you know, peacefully and, you know, discuss it at length. Ala Hazrat goes, no, you tell me the problem. Now, Professor Ziauddin tells the problem and Ala Hazrat Azimul Barkat there and then gives him the answer to his mathematical problem. Someone who is PhD, someone who had studied in Germany and he's done his PhD in Germany, and someone who's sitting in Bareilly Sharif.
Allah.
And this is where Ala Hazrat then showed, the question was asked to Ala Hazrat that where did you get this knowledge? And he, Rahmatullah alayhi, said that, some of the knowledge basics of mathematics I learned from my father. The rest of it was endowed to me by Allah Azza wa Jal through the blessing of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, called ilme ladunni. That the knowledge endowed by Allah Azza wa Jal directly into the mind, into the intellect of someone. Now that is another thing that is beyond comprehension. Now this is not a fairy tale story. This is a real incident that has happened. So we are unable to comprehend the how Ala Hazrat, who had not studied mathematics in a educational institute, but he is able to answer solve the problem of someone who is expert in that field.
Subhanallah.
Now, whichever field then you look into, you will find that Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, he is an authority in that. Now, you mentioned the love of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Two very simple, brief examples I would like to mention.
Sure.
Or three that clearly demonstrate his love for the Prophet, not just the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, but the progeny of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the Ahlul Bayt.
Subhanallah.
It is written in the books that Ala Hazrat had his room where he would actually write the fatawa. He will, give the verdicts. He will answer the questions. Now, questions to Ala Hazrat, they didn't come from the public. They came from the ulama. When they would get stuck, they will write to Ala Hazrat. And this is something what you call as professionals. When they get stuck, they refer to what we call as super professionals.
Yeah.
Okay? So, Ala Hazrat was writing fatawa in his room, and it was observed that Ala Hazrat will stand up and then sit down.
He would stand up and sit down.
After a short while, he will again stand up and sit down. And he did this quite a few times where he would stand up and then sit down. So someone asked him that, O Imam, what is the reason behind this?
Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah.
And Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, he goes, that on the street, there is a Sayyid Zada,
Allahu Akbar,
a child from the family of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He is playing and he runs around. When he reaches my room, as a sign of respect, I stand up for him.
Allahu Akbar.
And when he goes to the other side, I sit down. The second incident where it shows how much Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan loved the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Now again, when you love someone, you love everything that belongs to them, that is associated with them. Now we go to Makkah Park, we go to Medina Park, we go to Hajj and Umrah, and then we come back. Or when someone else goes to Hajj, Baitullah, and then visits Medina, and they come back, we go to visit them. What do? We shake hands with them, we give them Mubarak, they will give us Zamzam, Khajur Sharif, Jazakallah, make dua for us. And we will come back. But look at the Imam of Ahlul Sunnah. He would do all of these things. He will ask them, did you visit Medina Sharif?
Allahu Akbar.
And when the individual will say, yes, I visited Medina Sharif,
he used to kiss.
Imam Ahl Sunnat will say to him, and not just say to him, but he will actually kiss the feet of that individual, that these blessed feet have touched the, the blessed land and the soil of Medina Park.
Subhanallah.
And he will do that every time he will visit someone and he is told that this person has come from Medina Sharif.
Allah. Subhanallah.
And then another incident, which again shows great love of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan for the Ahle Bayt. Because Ala Hazrat, his practice was, because he was so busy in writing and answering questions and delivering fatawa, that he wouldn't normally deliver speeches. However, once a year, he would address in the Jalsa, near to his home, in the ground. Now, as a sign of respect, in them days, the people would bring the scholars in what they used to call as a palaki. You can consider it as something that, a nice sort of decorated thing with a chair in between, and then four people will lift it. So every year it used to happen. So four people will lift Ala Hazrat from his home and take him to the nearby ground where he would do the jal takrir, address the audience and do the bayan. This one particular time, as the palki was lifted and the people started to walk, Ala Hazrat said, stop.
Allahu Akbar.
He immediately came out of the palki and he asked those four individuals, that I smell the blood of my beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Which one of you is a Sayyid Zada? Which one of you is a Sayyid Zada? And then obviously no one admits, but Ala Hazrat again asks, and then one of those individuals says that, oh, Imam Ahlul Sunnah, I am Sayyid Zada. I am earning my livelihood. Now Ala Hazrat, he first of all asks for forgiveness. And he says that, what will the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say on the Day of Judgment? That, oh, Ahmad Raza, you used to ride on the shoulders of my progeny, of my children.
Allah.
And Ala Hazrat, he goes, now you will sit in the palaki and I will take you forward. And that individual says, no, I cannot do that. And Ala Hazrat puts his turban on his feet.
Allah.
And forces him to sit in the palaki. And then the world witnessed that Imam of his time, he puts what we think of as an ordinary individual, makes him sit in the palaki and takes the palaki on his shoulders and walks to the ground.
Allah.
And this is, just an example of love. There are countless examples. Whatever field you look into of Ala Hazrat, whether it is knowledge, whether it is his poetry in the love of the Prophet and the praise of the Prophet, whether it is his political guidance to the Muslim of that time, whether it is the financial solution to the Muslims of that time, the how should they unite. He was fully aware of what was happening around the world from a political point of view at that time as well. So he guided Muslims at that time as well. And then, you know, if you read the books of Ala Hazrat, if you read his Fatawa Razaviya, which consists of 30 volumes, you won't find a single walk of life where he doesn't give his guidance.
Subhanallah, mashallah, so beautifully explained. Love of Ala Hazrat, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. He says, unhe jana, unhe mana, na rakha ghair se kaam. Unhe jana, unhe mana, na rakha ghair se kaam. Lillahil hamd mein dunya se musalman gaya. See, the love of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam is everything. And alhamdulillah, if we have got that intact, and we depart from this world with love of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, inshallah, we will have our iman intact with us. Doctor, as you are professionally a doctor and you've studied medicine, mashallah, and especially in terms of psychological and knowledge you've got by profession, how do you see Imam Ahmed Raza Khan al Rahmatur Rahman in that perspective?
Now, clearly, I have to admit that I haven't studied majority of his writings, so there must be a lot of knowledge that is there which I'm not aware of. However, recently in Mahnama Fizan-e Madina, which is the monthly magazine of Dawat Islami, they actually talked about Ala Hazrat's guidance to the medical professionals of that time, especially in on the topic of ethics of prescribing medicine.
Right.
When I actually read those guiding principles on ethics of prescribing, I was absolutely surprised and taken by surprise to see that these are very much similar to what are taught in the modern medicine. Now also, if you look at it from a psychology of behavior or social development of human beings, and you look at the teachings of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, especially in terms of child development and upbringing of children, there is a booklet with the name of Aulad Ki Hukuk, the rights of children. And alhamdulillah, I had the opportunity to study that. And Ala Hazrat Azimul Barkat, in there he mentions amazing madni pearls about how to do good upbringing of children by keeping a close eye on them, by sort of like, those principles which I would say that modern psychology, after years of research, mentions that this is how you should do the upbringing of children. And Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan is mentioning in his booklets as well.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Respective views of Madani Shalim, when we talk about knowledge of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, modern sciences, definitely, as beautifully mentioned by Dr. Zirek Naseem Tari also. And I would like to just mention, this was the knowledge he had, which was granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to him. But the knowledge he left, the works he left behind, what are present, and we can see physically in front of us, you will be amazed to know these figures which I mentioned before you. This will tell you the knowledge, the level of knowledge which he possessed, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. He, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, has written approximately 1,000 books on various topics. Respectively, today we've got modern technology, computers, typing, printing, and so many other facilities, when it is very easy to compose, write. But back in those days, Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala in his time, you see, they used to write with hands. Writing 1,000 books in one's life, it's not a piece of cake, to be honest with you. And further, it is mentioned that he wrote tens of thousands of fatawa, Islamic verdicts, Islamic rulings were issued by Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala. From the age of 13 years, approximately, more or less, he started giving fatawa. And then until he departed from this mortal world, this was his practice. So he wrote tens of thousands of fatawa. But many of them, they were not published. Some of them, they were published, and many were not published. Allahu Akbar. And respective viewers, Fatawa Razawiyah. At present, what we have got, that book which contains Fatawa of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, it is on 30 volumes. You see, it's a massive book, comprises of 30 volumes, and it has 21,656 pages, this book of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh. On top of that, questions and answers, they are 6,847. And total booklets, they are 206 in that Fatawa Razawiyah. So you can understand, Allahu Akbar, this is the knowledge of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh, how deep insight and knowledge he had in Quran. He was mufassir in hadith, he was muhaddith of his time, subhanallah. And if you talk about fiqh, as I mentioned, he wrote this Fatawa Razawiyah. He was such a personality, amazing, remarkable, incredible personality, Allahu Akbar. We don't find easily. These personalities, they come once in a few centuries, right? Doctor, any saintly miracle would you like to mention of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, a great saint in Qadiriyya order?
Alhamdulillah, Zawajal, there are countless karamat, or saintly miracles of Ala Hazrat that can be mentioned, but I would like to pick one particular one,
please,
which again ties in with what we have mentioned previously about some of the pious saints of Allah Azza wa Jal in the Qadiriyya Silsila. And also it sort of puts a challenge to the modern science as well, to the sort of intellectuals, and you know, the concept and the theme of the time travel. Now, without going into too much detail, that Ala Hazrat, every Thursday, he would physically visit the Rozae Rasul and be present in a mahfil there every Thursday from Braili Sharif, and he will come back on the same day within few moments. And how did he, you know, these saints of Allah Azza wa Jal, they will hide, you know, their karamats. This is a sign of a true wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, that they will not mention these, you know, saintly miracles. And it just happens that one day, someone was looking for Ala Hazrat. They came into that room where Ala Hazrat used to write fatawa. They came, and it was just one room. There's no other room or anything. So this individual comes, and they come into the room and they cannot find Ala Hazrat. So I think someone had come to meet him from a, you know, city afar. So they cannot find Ala Hazrat. But shortly afterwards, Ala Hazrat comes out of the same room. So this is where, you know, some of the clever disciples, they thought something, you know, must be extraordinary behind this, that we went into that room, we couldn't find Ala Hazrat, and he couldn't have been anywhere else. So they ask Ala Hazrat, and initially Ala Hazrat tries to sort of like go off the topic and, you know, divert the attention, but they were persistent in there that, you know, tell us what, we went there, you were not there, and now you're coming out of the room. And this is when Ala Hazrat goes, the Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, every Thursday I go into the court of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Madinatul Munawwara, in Rozae Rasul, and Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. You know, that again, you know, is a saintly miracle. And again, you know, it ties in with the theme that when you serve Allah Azza wa Jal, these physical barriers, these physical means, you know, they will obey you.
SubhanAllah.
You will take one step and you will travel thousands of miles.
True.
And the books are filled with these narrations where, you know, the pious saints of Allah Azza wa Jal or someone has accompanied them, and within moments they've reached a destination which is hundreds of miles away.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
So this is, you know, for the saints of Allah Azza wa Jal, time stands still, distances, they are reduced, they take one step, and they can be thousands of miles away.
SubhanAllah. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, what we are discussing, this is a separate topic itself, alhamdulillah. And the verses of Quran can also be produced as an evidence that, subhanAllah, those they are friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them powers. Asif bin Barkhiya, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, he was a wali of his time, of Bani Israel, not of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam's ummah's wali, Allahu Akbar. And it is mentioned with regards to his account in Quran, how he brought Takht Bilqis within no time. Allahu Akbar, when it was asked by Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam. So, alhamdulillah, time doesn't permit, we can carry on further on this beautiful topic and our pious predecessors. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, alhamdulillah, we have tried to cover a few Buzurgan-e-Deen, few pious predecessors in these few episodes of our program, Saints of Qadriya Order. We have not covered all of them. There are many other pious predecessors. And inshallah, if we find another opportunity, we will try to bring another series of program and we can talk about our pious predecessors of Qadriya Order. Any last message, Dr. Sabi, would like to give to the...
I think, the message is that we must strengthen our relationship with the pious friends of Allah Azza wa Jal, with the saints of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we should learn about their seerah, learn about their, strive that they did to gain the knowledge, their efforts in terms of acting upon the knowledge, and their such special connection with Allah Azza wa Jal, so that we can get the sukoon and tranquility in this world and then on the day of judgment as well.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. JazakAllah, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to come and talk about the saints.
JazakAllah, thank you very much for being part of this beautiful series. Thank you very much. JazakAllah khairah. Keep watching Madani Channel. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The special favor of Allah. Oh, yeah.